Good morning, everyone. Mr. County Board of County Commissioners, come to order. If anyone has any audible devices, cell phones or otherwise, if you please silence them now. It's not to disrupt the meeting. We would appreciate it. If you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all. Start off with Happy Birthday, America. I'd also like to, for those of you who maybe don't know, introduce Story County's new county manager, Austin Osborne. And we will move along now to item number four. This is discussion of possible action, the approval of today's agenda for July the 2nd, 2019. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make, any corrections to today's agenda?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chairman. We ask that you continue to the August 6th County Commission meeting, item 16, item 17, and item 19.
Commissioners, have any questions for the on the agenda?
Nope.
Any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve today's agenda with those continuations.
I'll move to approve today's agenda, moving item 16, item 17, and item 19 to the August 6th commission meeting.
I'll second that.
We moved and second to approve today's agenda with those corrections or changes made. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. This is discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for June the 4th, 2019. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Moving second to approve the minutes of June the 4th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six, today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
Moving to second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number seven, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. Here's our committee and staff reports. I'll start on the right side of the building with Sheriff Antonoro. Thanks, Jerry. We'll ask Mike North then.
Nothing
today. Operations and Public Works. Okay. From RSVP, Luis Pina, you have something today for us, Luis?
Nothing this time other than thank you for supporting RSVP.
You bet. Thank you for being here today. From our planning department, Kathy Canfield.
I'm not
too good. Okay, Kathy. Along with here from the community chest and library, Eric Schoen.
For the record, Eric Schoen with Community Chest. Just a few quick updates for you all. If you haven't been to our community center in a while, you may notice a lot of kids running around. We have the highest summer enrollment, daily summer enrollment that we've ever had. Last year we were averaging around 40 kids a day, and now we are averaging about 55 kids a day in our summer program. And as a reminder, that opens at 7, goes all the way until 6. We do weekly field trips, lots of arts and crafts, a lot of interactive activities. In the afternoon, the pool accommodates us as well so that the kids can go swimming. So it's a great program. If you haven't yet enrolled your students and you'd like to, we have spots for elementary students and middle school students. We're hoping for an August 1st open date for our daycare early childhood education center. That will enable us to take the younger students, pre-K, so that their parents can go to work and know that their students have a safe place to be, an enriching environment. What we're waiting for is the construction, the outside construction to be done. And once that's done, we can have the state, because the state, it'll be licensed by the state, then they can come in and do their final walkthrough and issue us a license. So fingers crossed, we'll have that open by August 1st. We'll get announcements out for that when that finally happens. And then last but not least, I'd like to give a shout out to Comstock Painting for the amazing job they did on repainting our old building on 991 South C Street. It's the old pink house, as we call it. It looks brand new, and I couldn't ask for a better job. They did a really quality job. So those are my updates. Any questions?
Two questions, if you don't mind. How many students can you afford to have in the that program you're referring to? You said you have 55 now. What's the max?
Yeah, how many can we? What's the max? Yeah. I don't know that we've ever tested the max.
Okay.
I think as far as the space, the large space, I think it's 130 maximum folks, bodies we can have in there. So that might be the max. Generally, what happens as we increase enrollment, we find other staff to maintain our ratios. Okay. So it's something we can scale up or scale down.
Are the majority of
sorry, what's the cost on that?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I've been out for a few weeks, so I don't know what the cost is for this summer. I can get that to you, though.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Where are the majority of the attendees?
The majority of them?
Pardon?
The majority of them are from the Virginia City Schools. We have a few who come off the Hill because we have such a high-quality program, but most of them are from Hugh Gallagher Elementary, and we also have middle school students from the middle school program.
Is there transportation for off the Hill, or do they furnish their own?
They provide their own, yeah. Transportation's a tough one. During the school year, the school district is a great partner, and they work with us to make sure that we're on the bus route for the students, so that parents don't have to worry about transporting their kids from the program to the school and vice versa. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are you looking at expanding your program for non-school students? You talked about pre-K. Would these just be like a normal, regular daycare not associated with the schools?
Correct. So it would fill in that gap that we don't currently have of with the little ones. There's really not enough daycare slots throughout the region, much less Story County, on the Hill especially. And so this would be prior to them ever being in school. I think right now we're going to focus on threes and fours, and then we'll slowly start moving the age down. Eventually we want to get as low as we can for how young they can be.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thanks.
So, we have in attendance today our general manager for the Virginia Truckee Railway Commission, and Buckall Spencer. This morning.
For the record, Elaine Barkdell Spencer. I like to get here at least every quarter and give you all a report on what's going on with B&T Railway. I'm happy to report that ridership is up this season. We've had 18 trains so far this season, and we have had to call for an extra car three times, meaning that we're bringing that many more riders to Virginia City and tourists and passengers. Another thing that we're doing this year to make it recognizable, I spoke to you last season about our sticker. Our stickers are worn by our passengers. What this does is it identifies our passengers to the merchants, and there are various merchants around town that are providing discounts for being a passenger of the B&T Railway. So it's a collaborated type of partnership, and it's working quite well. People have been utilizing their discounts. The depot, you all provided about $90,000 matching contribution from Carson City. We used every dime of it, and it has paid off. We now have a beautiful new parking lot. We also have a expanded capacity, meaning that we have tables and chairs inside of our snack bar. We've got a train viewing station, and we also have benches around the property. So we have now expanded our capacity. We've also built a shade structure. So when the passengers are there, they can be outside and enjoying the viewing of the train, but not exposing themselves to too much sun. The sticker program, I spoke about that. But lastly, I'd like to also report that the 18 is coming along nicely. And we've been down to tour it a couple of times. I was just there a couple of days ago, and the professionals are there. They're here for 5 weeks this go-round. So unless Tom Gray's in the audience, he could give us a better date. But we're looking at the end of July, early August, to bring back the 18, and that means 3 passenger cars all of the time. That's an additional 70 tourists to bring here to Virginia City, and it gives us that much more to sell. We've actually had to turn people away at the train station because we did not have enough seats to sell.
Are you tracking how many visitors are coming by a train by the month or the quarter?
Yes, yeah. In fact, that's easy math because we only have so many seats. And so right now we're looking at, with 18 trains, capacity average is about 128. We can actually go up to 144. But there have been, again, the times that we've brought the 3 cars. So we're all well on our way to, to a day, 18, about 1,800 to 2,000 so far.
That's a nice start.
And again, if you haven't been out to the depot, the Eastgate Depot, please come on out and see how it's changed, how we're making it more comfortable for the passengers. And we're also working on another project for rail bikes. And I'll be developing a business plan for the commission, which Marshall is now our vice chair. We were talking about railroad being railroaded. He was. So he is our vice chair. But again, I'll be bringing that business plan to the VNT Railway Commission to see if it's plausible that we actually start a side business of rail bikes and utilize the canyon.
Any other questions for Lynn? Okay. Thank you for your report, Elaine. Terrific. We had our meeting last week down there, and if those who haven't been down there, it's a real nice facelift. It's down there. We get Elaine's got a great team down there who's running the operation. We've got a terrific board that I sit on. It's great to go to a meeting and get information that's on demand and financial information that was pretty much not extinct for several years down there. So, well done, Elaine. Thank you. Next up, we have over to Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. I would just like to continue to remind folks, if they haven't already done so, to sign up for our Code Red emergency notification system. We are right in the heat of summer and wildfire season, and that is a means that we use to notify our residents in the event of an emergency. So it's easy to sign up. You can go right to our website. We have a link there on the left-hand side of the homepage. Or if you need additional assistance, you can always call our communications department at 847-0930, and they're happy to help you get in the system. Our Story County multidisciplinary team, which you approved an MOU a couple months back, is going strong. We continue to meet on a monthly basis. We held our first training about 2 weeks ago. It was a first responder behavioral health training, community chest, and I can't even think of what her title is, but Jessica Flood, she basically is the coordinator for state services around behavioral health in Nevada. They put it on for us. We had folks in attendance from our fire department, senior center, and community chest. So it was very well received, and we will continue to offer these sorts of trainings in the future. So it's good to see something that's, taken us about a year and a half, but it's finally off the ground. Last week, Chad Roop, the USDA Rural Utilities Service Administrator, was here in Virginia City. Commissioner McBride joined them on their tour. I was unavailable that morning, but He was here. He was just appointed into that position the same day he was here on Thursday, June 27th. So he took a look at what USDA has funded here in Story County over the years, and we talked to him about some future projects, and we're always really happy to have them here and host them. So it's always a feather in our cap when those folks want to come out and see what we've done here. So that's all I have.
Thanks for that, Sherry. That's great. Yeah, it was a great tour. This guy is, he's a Wyoming guy, and he's got a lot of interest in what we've done and wanted to know where we want to go forward, too, with what our needs are. And so he's very interested. He's a new appointee. He was an acting director, and now he's the director. So it's great. From the VCTC, Danny Dotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll hold my comments for a little bit later in today's agenda.
All right. Very good. We have representatives from the River District today. We have John and Mary Lee Miller. Who wants to go first? John will go first.
John Miller from the River District. Say hi to everybody here, and thank you for all the help you've provided the River District in our Mike West of Louise Perry Park. It was a bad winter for us. We had two pine trees go down, two basketball hoops go down. Fortunately, our maintenance crew, Jason and Jeff, came down right away and took care of the trees so they wouldn't damage or hurt anybody else or damage the fence. So, but we got the park all cleaned up. It's looking nice. We've had 8 events already signed up and done there. We're going to have a few more events. She'll be telling you about them. The garden. We have 16 beds being used right now. We're cleaning the garden up still. Excuse me. The weeds were invaded around the garden area, the homes back there, all the way to the other side, basically where all the walkway is and exercise equipment is. We'll get that all cleaned up. Other than that, I want to thank everybody for all the help you've given us. Thank you.
Thanks. Are you still fighting whitetop around the garden area too?
No, a little bit, but not like it was.
It's still there.
Let's put it this way: there's very little now, because everything's cleaned up. The whole garden bed's all cleaned up. All the outsides are all cleaned up. As long as you keep taking it out of there, it's going to finally go away. So. The only thing we had was the winter was so wet that we had a lot of weeds.
Okay.
But they're all done. Thank you.
Any questions for John? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Mary Lee?
Mm-hmm. Did you tie him?
Excuse me, miss. Here's my clock.
Gentlemen, good morning, ladies. Marilyn Miller from the River District. I only have one thing to report on the senior center. We now have security cameras. I did not report that before when I was here. We have security cameras on the outside. Everything else seems to be the same. But I do have two pieces of information for you that you're going to be excited about. One of them is National Night Out. I have the whole package here. So let me just hand this off to Austin, because that's his job now. And the second thing is Lockwood Friends and Neighbors, lunch at the landfill. Woohoo! Last year, it interfered with the Commissioner's Day because Julia was new and he had no idea which day to pick. So he called me up 3 weeks ago. We went up. I spent 2 hours at the dump. Hello. We organized everything, including what they're going to serve, who they're going to serve with. And it is going to be BJ's again. Lunch at the landfill is from 11 to 2 on September 24th. So that pleases everybody. And they're going to do the Hillside School presentation and the site tours as usual. I brought you a copy of the flyer so you can get it to every department. So no one will be left out in the cold. We were in the cold last year because it was Commissioner Day, and that was just unfortunate. absolutely did not know. He had no idea. So welcome. Please stop by for these events, and that's about all I have to say. How did I do? Did I beat him?
He left 1 minute on the clock if you wanted to use his minute.
Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee. I believe National Night Out is going to be at the Miners Park again this year, too, also. Is that right, Sheriff, up here?
That is correct.
So we're going to have it in both parks?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, we're having it.
And then Dine at the Dump on September the 24th.
I call it Dine at the Dump.
Yeah, no.
Parks have changed it to Lunch at the Landfill.
I like Dine at the Dump.
They didn't know it.
It's fun. It's a fun event. Very good. Over at Community Development, Fire Marshal Martin Azevedo.
Nothing to report, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. County Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning. For the record, Jeff Nevin. About June 23rd, about 6:30, I'm sure everybody saw the smoke down the canyon, 6 Mile Canyon, that is. We had about a little less than 12-acre wildland fire. With help from our neighbors, Central Lyon County, BLM, and NDF, we were able to keep that small. Had it pretty much contained by midnight that night. Had crews on it all the next day to make sure it didn't go anywhere. With that, I would like to remind community members and visitors to be vigilant with your outdoor activities, whether it's yard work or recreation. We're in summertime. It's hot, it's dry, and of course it's Nevada, so it's windy. Just be extra careful with that, and especially with the 4th of July, 2 days away. I'd like to remind people that fireworks in the state of Nevada are illegal without a license to provide those. So, any questions?
Thanks, Chief. Thank you. Right, over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Did you hear? District Attorney, Ann Langer.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just four items. We, pursuant to the board's direction to look at items in Lockwood, we are working on working with the LCC down in Lockwood to come up with a legal way to pave and maintain a portion of Perry Ranch Road from the creek over to about the school. We're also looking at doing some pavement improvements for the Public Works Office on the triangle, as I look to Mary Lee there in the parking lot at the senior center. So Mike W. and Mike Northern and their team and us are all working on that together. Similarly, based on this board's direction, we are looking at ways with the DA's office on coming up ways to maintain Cartwright Road through some type of potential maintenance easement or something like that. But we need to make sure that whatever we do creates a situation where we can maintain the road, we can build it as close to Orange Book standards as possible. There's some curvatures and drainages and things we'll need to work with, and we'll be working with the HOAs out there as well, as they're also making improvements out there. So that is ongoing. Lowestown is also ongoing as far as maintaining that road. I want to send a congratulations to our new HR labor relations manager. Her name is Jeannie Green. She comes to us with over 30 years of HR labor experience with the state of Nevada, with Pool, and with other agencies. She has a tremendous amount of background and skill and education that I think will do us very well, and she's excited to work with our team. She started yesterday, and so she's kind of in an orientation process right now, and you'll start seeing her around. That's a part-time position that will work in just doing exclusively HR labor relations. And in addition, we have posted for the administrative officer that will do the other half of human resources, more of the operations, benefits, and that sort of thing, as well as other duties. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners.
Any questions for Austin?
No. Thank you.
County Clerk, Ms. Stevens. Okay, that concludes our committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 8. This is board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. We'll start far end of the table with Commissioner Carmona.
Just wanted to congratulate Austin on his second day of work. Welcome aboard again. Thank you.
I echo that, and thank you very much. Nothing else today. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. Okay.
I've got a couple of things. First of all, you've got the 4th of July celebration coming up on Thursday. There's a lot of activities that are scheduled. First off, our local BFW post is going to host a pancake breakfast, which is more than pancakes. It's all the regular breakfast items that they're going to do on C Street in the parking lot next to Grandma's Fudge. And they start early, I think about 7 a.m. And then following breakfast, they're also going to do a lunch down there. I think they're going to do a hamburger, hot dog type of barbecue. At noon, the 4th of July parade will commence, starting at the 4th Ward School, and it usually goes on for about an hour. At 6 p.m., David John and the Comstock Cowboys will be performing their annual Second Amendment concert in the same parking lot where the barbecue and pancake breakfast are being held. And then they play from 6 until 9 p.m. And then approximately about 9:20, it gets just dark enough, and if the county fire chief gives the thumbs up, depending on weather conditions, then the fireworks will commence at that time, and they put on a nice 20 to 25-minute show. So we hope everybody is in attendance in Virginia City on Thursday. It's going to be a lot of activity. Oh, I forgot to mention also in the course of the day, in the same parking lot where all the other activities are being held, the high school cheerleaders will be serving snow cones and doing face painting for children. And so that's usually a pretty good hit for the kids over there. On a sad note, I want to announce the passing of Margaret Gardner. She was a longtime Virginia City resident out here on North B Street. I went to school with her kids back in the 70s. She was a local artist, and she was active in the school district as well. I don't remember exactly what her particulars were at the school district, but she was active for many, many years down there. So she passed away in the middle of June, and I just got notice of it the other day. So anyway, our condolences go out to the Gardner family, her husband, and her children. That's all I have. And so we'll move on now to the item number 9. This is discussion of possible action. Amend the agreement to purchase of real property as approved by the Story County Board of Commissioners on June 18, 2019, specifically in the following areas. Amend the last sentence of Section 6 to read, said escrow shall close within 20 business days after the approval of this agreement by divide in the county. Amend the first sentence of Section 11 to read, following the close of escrow, Divide shall have 60 days within which to remove its personal property, equipment, and trade fixtures from that portion of the premises currently used as a membership gym business unless a lease is worked out between Story County and Divide Fitness Incorporated. So, as we work on that, I'll go ahead and word the. I'll read the staff summary on this. At the June 18th meeting, the Story County Board of Commissioners approved submission of an agreement for purchase of real property located at 800 South C Street in Virginia City, Nevada, more commonly referred to as the Divide Building. Since approval, it has been noted that there needs to be two changes in terms, hence the request to approve the amended agreement as specified in the agenda language. The two specific amendments are. These are the two amendments that I formally read. The Section 6 amendment removes the condition that tied close of escrow to the completion of NV Energy providing three-phase power to another property owned by the sellers as a provision is no longer applicable. The Section 11 amendment allows for temporary continued use as a gym while both parties proceed with the process of establishing a lease. No other terms have changed. Clean and redlined copies reflecting both changes will be provided in the agenda packet. All other terms and conditions remain unchanged from the June 18th approval, and County Manager Osborne has been briefed on these changes and recommends approval.
So, my fellow commissioners have any questions regarding the changes on this agreement?
Okay.
Open up for public comment. Hearing none? Okay. Recommission.
Statement I'd like to have if you would.
Oh, go right ahead, Austin.
Thank you. Just two things. One is pretty simply, this whole thing allows us to conform to that court order much better, address the items that you just mentioned. And it should be noted here that the fans are eager to continue the gym at its current location and to work with us in getting that lease agreement straightened out. So I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. With that said, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve.
I, Lance Gilman, move to approve the amended agreement for purchase of the real property as approved by the Story County Board of Commissioners on June 18, 2019.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along to item number 10 now. This is discussion and possible action. Approve and authorize the chairman of the Story County Board of Commissioners to execute a contract between Story County and Paw Professional Services, LLC, a Nevada Limited Liability Company, for professional consulting services. Services would be structured as an independent contractor with a managing member, Pat Witten, responsible for all expenses, scheduling, etc. Contractor shall provide services at the request of the county manager, Story County, shall pay for services provided at an hourly rate of $165. This was an item continued from the June 18, 2019 meeting. The these items always go without any, without controversy on these. It's been suggested that Pat has retired, and but is still going to continue being a county manager, or as a co-county manager. Simply not the case. When Pat first told me about a year ago his intentions to retire, I told him that I had reservations about it because we have a lot of things going on in the county right now, and I tried to equate it such as we've got two full plates. Austin's got a full plate. Pat's got a full plate. If Pat walks out the door, puts his plate on the top of Austin's plate, now we've got two full plates. I mean, I think it's a recipe for disaster. All of us are going to pick up some of the slack on these things. Pat had agreed to continue to help us on an as-needed basis throughout our conversations. We've come up with a little laundry list of things, and it's got a few moving parts on it. It's been suggested that Pat would be working 40 hours a week at $165 an hour, coming out with some type of outrageous amount of annual salary. It's not the intention for that, and it's preposterous that it would go on like that. It would just simply would not be allowed. That's not what we're looking at. Simply looking for assistance from Pat on some items that he started, and it would be nice if he finished it. I like to equate it to Mike Nevin retiring as a public works director and having he putting together the water and sewer projects throughout the course of his tenure. For him to walk out and leave it on Jason W., which Jason W. could have done, what other items of the county may have been put on the back burner because there's only so much time to work throughout these projects. So anyway, Nevin had been retained by the county on a contractual basis to do the water and sewer projects. They've gone off splendidly, and it hasn't been, you know, to the detriment of the expense of the county. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the staff summary regarding this item, and then we can go ahead and discuss it when I'm done. So, with the transition of county management occurring from Pat Witten's retirement, there are still a number of projects in process that have been ongoing for some time. I've asked Pat if he would consider working at an hourly as an hourly consultant to finish these projects and provide assistance when requested by the county manager. Pat has agreed and proceeded to establish his private business structure known as Paw Professional Services, LLC, a Nevada Limited Liability Company, consultant for professional consulting services, while the attached draft contract and services contain standard terms and conditions relative to the most independent contractors, Pat has requested that the following statement of his understanding of the limitations of his contract work in general terms be included in the record. Consultant will work on various projects under the sole discretion of the county manager, Austin Osborne. He does so with the stated understanding that he has zero authority to commit, approve, or otherwise bind the county in any manner. Consultant services are limited to consulting only and may or may not be requested to primarily capitalize on his past knowledge and participation in the various projects for the county's best benefit. Projects will undoubtedly drop off as the subject projects are completed, abandoned, or assigned internally. Some projects will be added for the sole discretion of the county manager, but subject to PAW Professional Services, LLC's acceptance, he wishes to make it abundantly clear that there is only one county manager, that being Austin Osborne. Consultant also wishes to clarify on the record that he does not yet have a Story County business license nor liability insurance. He intends to initiate both of those steps immediately after potential approval. He will not commence work under the contract until all requirements are met. In my opinion, utilization of these services levels will be much like the same as our district attorney utilizes Bob Morse as outside special counsel, as well as other professional consultants, different only in that they won't be providing legal services, but rather technical and logistical services. Based on past institutional and practical knowledge gained during his 14 years plus on the job, I believe it to be in the best interest of the county to contract with PAW Professional Services, LLC, and to utilize the services as we determine we need them. Accordingly, as the chairman of the Board of Commissioners, I recommend the approval. Gentlemen,
I'll reserve my comments. I made.
All right.
Personally speaking, I have all the faith in Austin that he can handle it. To me, he's proven that he can handle probably a bigger workload than I think two individuals can handle. You know, I think Pat's done a great job over the years, but. I don't support his contract.
Okay. How about we take on some public comment? Mr. Ayers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Steve Ayers, local resident. The question I'm going to have on this is the county putting anything into place to properly deal with LLCs outsourcing some of this work? And I bring this up because of what was done to Gary Haynes of Battleborn. He was treated extremely unfairly because obviously nothing was in place. So however they handled their investigation, whatever nonsense was there, it just put a massive burden on our family. And that's going to come back on anybody else you do in the future because
First,
things are being handled willingly.
Let me stop you on one thing. We're not going to discuss Battleborn Consulting.
Oh, I know. I'm just bringing that as an example.
Well, I know, but
because it's
I don't know your question is how we're going to deal with LLCs. What was your question?
In the future, what kind of policies are you going to have in place so if you have issues, you have something up front that. If we have an issue with you or whatever, this is how you'll be dealt with. Instead of coming out of the blue going, go away, we're not going to tell you what's going on. And these different hate sites out there expand upon this. So I'm speaking from experience, but if Pat comes in and does this, what's going to protect Pat and the county?
Let me explain. Okay, let me answer your question. The way we would treat this, just like we do any other contractor, whether it be Paul Ferrari Engineering, or Pete Dubay Architectural, or any of these other contractors that we hire, they're all treated the same. So,
if there's a problem, you don't tell them, you just shut them out and let it go out to the public and become a disastrous nightmare on local families.
I,
who've committed stuff to this community for decades.
You're taking this on a personal level.
So I am.
And
absolutely.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole here.
Okay.
Okay. We treat all contractors equally in here.
Then obviously there's a problem, and you guys need to address
that. We're not going to deal with the personal issues.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just talking about in the future. You're going to have this problem again, and you're going to put another family through it. So why would you do that without going, hey, let's sit down and address the issue and lay out some guidelines for working with these folks? We're a small town. We all know each other. We're all supposed to be friends.
We need to have things in place.
I
just read the guidelines of what the proposed contract would be with Mr. Whitman.
Okay, well, then he's going to possibly end up in the same fate.
I guess anybody could.
Yeah, and I thought that's what we were supposed to avoid here.
I don't know. We're not here to avoid anything. We're here just looking at going ahead and at a potential contract with the proposed consultant. Mm.
Okay, and I'm just bringing up one of the problems that you may have again.
Okay.
That just happened.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Okay. Who's next? Someone else had their hand up? Mr. Northam?
Hi, Mike Northam, Operations Projects Coordinator. Mr. Whitman's involved in a number of projects that I've been involved in that are currently ongoing. I would just submit that changing horses midstream has been my experience in project management can be problematic. And I would also further submit that continuity of leadership, direction, and a project scope that's clearly in mind is a benefit to any project. It's just not to say that Mr. Osborne isn't completely capable of it. It's just that it takes a long time to get up to speed on these projects. And again, I would counsel you that continuity is important in a lot of these ongoing projects. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Northam. Additional public comment?
Commissioner McBride, Chairman, Commissioners, congratulations, Austin, on your second day of work. Good to see you in that seat there. I'd like to echo the comments that Mr. Ayers made. I think it is something that should be considered within the bounds of the contract. I'd like to echo the concerns that Commissioner Carmona made. As I used to remind my employees, that's why we call it work and not recess. Mr. Osborne has demonstrated his capacity and his capabilities in the past, and I think it sends absolutely the wrong message to him on his second day of work that he's not capable of doing the job, that somehow Pat Whitten is the only person on the planet that possesses the unique skills and capabilities that are required for whatever negotiations are going to be set his way. I might remind the commissioners that in the past, those types of responsibilities fell upon your shoulders. When the county didn't have enough money to pay for a director for public works or community development, the commissioners themselves shouldered that burden. And I think that all three of you are very capable of performing whatever tasks that Mr. Whitten may or may not engage upon. Finally, I'd like to ask some questions about the contract itself. I'm the guy who said that if Pat was allowed to work for 40 hours a week all month, he would rack up $24,000 worth of charges. I read the contract a second time moments ago and couldn't find any caps or any contractual language that prevents any of those things from happening. Am I correct in interpreting the contract that he could work 160 hours a month or more?
This is just public comment, Mr. Tolman.
So there's no protection for the community in the contractual language that will cap Mr. Whitten's time. Additionally, I couldn't find any language that allows him or that prevents him from having a subcontractor do some of the work. So he could have a $15 an hour employee perform some of those tasks and then turn around and bill the county $165. So I'm very concerned about the contract. And then, you know, as Mr. Ayers pointed out, I think we should have learned our lesson from the Hames contract and allow Mr. Osborne to do his job because he's very capable of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Madam DA, my name is Chris Thompson, TRI Project Manager, and I'd just like to say we, too, have all the confidence in the world in Austin Osborne. And we hope and expect that it's Austin who will be dealing with our companies, who will be in charge at the county, and we know that he will be. That despite the comments made by the previous speaker, that there are absolutely no caps, that it's that this contract is somehow open to working day and night by the contractor, well, it just shows that the prior speaker has no clue. If you look at paragraph 4 of the Witten contract, it's in the agenda. It says, services to be performed. The parties agree that the intended scope of services to be performed is as follows. Contractor will work on specific projects as directed by the county and authorized by the county manager. Each project will be assigned to contractor via email. There is no guarantee of a specific amount of any work being assigned to contractor. The county manager may assign one or more projects or no projects to contractor, all within the sole discretion of the county manager. Contractor understands the budget limitations. I'm going to say this again. Contractor understands the budget limitations on each project is $5,000 in total billing. And the contractor may not exceed that budget limit on a particular project unless and until the county manager receives the approval of the Board of County Commissioners for additional budget authority. I think this contract is drafted responsibly. It's limited. It's narrow in scope. And I hope the, Mr. Chairman, I hope the commission will correct the lies that were just perpetrated about this particular contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Sean.
For the record, Eric Schoen of Community Chest, I offer a slightly different perspective because this arrangement, I'm not speaking to the particulars of what the arrangement should look like or whether or not they're just, but this particular kind of arrangement where the previous executive director, CEO, remained, on some sort of call to work with the incoming executive director is exactly the process that we went through with Community Chest. My first year as executive director, there was just too much work for any one person to do. We still have a community center to finish. Sean was elbow deep in that. He was familiar with the details. To your comment about project management, it was helpful for him to stay on that project to finish that. There were several other key relationships that were important to facilitate. And so we had a well-bounded, articulated, and board-approved arrangement. It worked really well for the benefit of Sean to feel like he was able to close those projects out, as well as benefit for us as an organization. And for us, it's not so much about who does the work, it's that the work gets done. And we were able to balance out that there wasn't really any much confusion at all about Sean being the executive director. I was the executive director. Sean was very thoughtful about that. And I think if it's approached from that perspective, for us it worked. It was time limited. We did it for a year, and then that was it. But I just offer that as some experience as one agency for whom this kind of arrangement worked out.
Thank you. Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Everyone has an opinion, just like Bella Benton. It's been my experience and the many transitions I've had when I have hired people to replace myself or I was the person hired to replace someone else is that there was a very short period of time to transition. And then that time is, in the corporate world, things run very quickly, so that person needed to go do their job and, you know, everything had to move quickly. That was about 2 to 3 months. So if it was somebody that was in my department that was going to replace me, I started transition immediately so that when I exited that job, I was gone. I was into my new job. So my question, which you don't have to answer because this is public comment, is we heard about transition happening between Pat and Austin once Austin was hired, so I don't understand why that transition didn't happen in the totality of all of the work. Having said that, in the private sector, when I was the executive director for the Children's Museum, same thing. I started it, I ran it. We went to a search to find a permanent executive director. When that person was hired, even though he was still working his job, we had phone meetings where I started to do transition even before he got there. Once he got there, between the two of us, it was very important that he be established alone without me as that executive director. I completely exited that picture. If he needed anything, he called me. And that didn't happen very much because he was already experienced. He knew more about museums than I did. And so that was a very short transition. So I'm giving an alternate view to some of the other positive experiences that it is possible, and in some cases, God forbid, if Pat had died in his job, you would have figured out a way to get this stuff done. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment? Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. There is a difference between life and death. We have a situation where Pat Whitten was integral in the development, negotiations, or whatever, from a physical point of view, or a fiscal point of view, could or could not be detrimental to Story County. He was the only one involved in some of these, although I was on the fiscal side of it. And as far as the transition, Austin was not given a whole lot of time to transition, if any at all, because his plate was already full. He had collective bargaining issues, whatever. It is not unthinkable for any government to do such thing. But when you're looking at a rural government that has only one department head, which is the county manager, there is no assistant county manager, there is no lieutenant county manager, when that person retires, if there is a lot of fiscal number type situations that he and he is only involved in, it makes perfect sense, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. All right. Continue on. Mr. Mitchell.
Chair Commissioners, Clay Mitchell, Virginia City resident. I just had one point of clarification. I was, as you introduced this item, I was unclear as to whether this was this arrangement was requested by Mr. Osborne as a county manager, or requested by the chair of the commission, or if it was some sort of combination of the two.
Requested by me.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And let me follow up on that too.
Sure.
And so it's on my recommendation, not because I don't think that Austin is qualified or competent enough to do this, but to add on to this, since the time that Austin made the cut and we decided to make him the new county manager, which was only a short period of time ago, there's actually been more projects that have been put on the plate since then. So, and it's not like someone who's coming into the county with a clean slate taking over Pat's job, but someone who's already has a job within the county. So there's a lot of work that's currently going on, and then more work that's going to be taken on, and then additional work that's come to the county since Austin has been named the new county manager. So
sure, yeah,
that's why I brought this forward. This was my idea. I've been talking with Pat about this for a long, long time to help us. Pretty much to get over the rocky moments of a transition here.
Thank you. And the question was not a loaded one. I was not implying anything out of it.
No, it's a fair question.
And I think I personally, as a member of the public, would benefit from hearing from the county manager and his position or his thoughts on, right, on a proposal like this.
Thank you for that. Okay. We'll move along. Any more additional public comment? Okay. Any county manager wants to weigh in on this?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'll keep it short. I want to first is I don't see this as a transition. The transition is over. Pat is not going to be in my office working together. We're not going to be phasing one out while the other one is phasing in. That's done. I'm doing the job. I'm in the office. Everything is moving forward, I hope. I think I look to what Director Schoen had said as he makes a good point. There are projects, and that is the operative word here, such as the Tesla negotiations, the Tri-Stip transfer, and the GID or the Affluent Pipeline Advanced Water Treatment. Those are the big ones. There's a couple others, but they're projects that Pat has been in from the beginning and the middle and been working on. And some of these are very close to conclusion. And I support the fact that he will come in and finish and land those projects and not bring in a new person three quarters of the way into the game to try to do that. I think it's in the best interest of the taxpayers in this county to support that model. And at one point, then the projects will be completed and that'll be the end of it. But it's not a transition. It isn't operations as usual. It isn't management. It isn't any of those things. So for those reasons, in addition to this board putting in the 5,000 limit, having a shortened contract and under a limited basis, I certainly support this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Austin. You explained it more eloquently than I could have, so thank you. I'll open up one more time if there's any additional public comment. No? Okay, so I'm going to come back over here to the pleasure of the board.
I'd like to weigh in on this from my perspective. Many of the folks have suggested that Austin Osborne is more than qualified to manage our county, and I couldn't agree more. As a good manager, I wouldn't want to tie his hands to having the ability to reach out to consultants or individuals that can lend support. A good manager does that. They don't make decisions in a vacuum. They make decisions on the run, and they use the people around them that are qualified and knowledgeable and the intellectual product necessary to make an adequate decision. And then they review that, and then they make a decision on what way the county's going to go. And I have full confidence that Austin can do that. And I am mystified from a common sense standpoint that we're talking about a man here who has had over two decades of leading this county. Two decades. He's taken us through one of the worst recessions in the history of the nation. He's sat at the helm while we developed probably the most high-profile industrial complex known in the globe today. And that complex is filled with some of the most high-profile, difficult-to-operate-with companies that anybody could address, private or politically. Pat has sat in every single negotiation with companies like Tesla and Switch and Google, just to name a few. He's been at every meeting of everything going on. And so here we're talking about a gentleman for two decades who has a lot of intellectual product, contacts, thoughts that he can offer as support to our new county manager. And the entire contract does nothing but agree that we will pay him if we reach out and ask him to do something for us. And the probability is we're going to have to. And if we do, and if we have a place for him, and our county manager has sole discretion as to whether that's going to happen or not. And we've already identified an amount of money, which, frankly, $165 an hour in the world of consultants is minuscule. And so why in the world would we turn our back as a county when we have a man out here that we can reach for, that our county manager can reach for, and ask him to help him on projects that are monumental? You have no idea what's going on in pipelines. Millions of dollars of impact to our county. Millions of dollars of impact on decision making. Why wouldn't we avail ourselves of the intellectual product that sits there? We're going to ignore it. We're just going to go on in our direction with no consultant base whatsoever. That's pure insanity. Why would anybody consider that? And so we have a very simple contract in my mind that if our county manager wants to reach out to an individual that can help him make very technical, high-profile financial decisions, why wouldn't we approve that? It's appalling to me that we'd even consider not availing ourselves of that information, and that's how I feel about it.
All right. Well, I didn't ask you how you really feel about it. Thank you, Lance. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
That. Jay, care to add anything to this?
No. A lot of good points are brought up, but I'll stick to my initial comment.
Okay. Well, with that said, then, Commissioner Gilman, I look to you to for a motion to approve this.
I'll move to approve this. Let me get the recommend motion going here.
Okay.
I, Commissioner Lance Gilman, move to approve and authorize the chairman of the Story County Board of Commissioners to execute a contract between Story County and PAW Professional Services LLC, a Nevada limited liability company, for professional consulting services.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve this contract with PAW. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is a noxious weeds presentation by Sean Gephardt of the Nevada Department of Agriculture.
Since I have to set up the PowerPoint, do you guys want to take a short break?
Sure. While we take 10 minutes? Okay, 10-minute recess.